Hey, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today, we're going to look a little bit more at this Unification Church and what they believe. We're going to look at something a little strange, and there's a reason why I'm doing this. I'm going to show you a doctrine that Unification Church believes, and the Unification Church practices. Honestly, I've looked all over the internet. It's kind of somewhat obscure. You can't find too much about it, but there's a lot of Unification or ex-Unification Church members that are coming out and talking about this. Moon himself talks about it, but somewhat veiled. We'll talk about that as well. But it is, well, friends, it's going to shock you. It's a little, okay, it's not a little, it's a lot strange. And I want to correct myself. I'm actually coming in on my podcast before I actually start talking officially. And I mention over and over that a baseball bat is used in this ceremony. Well, not always. In fact, it appears that most of the time it's just a stick. The ceremony is called the indemnity stick ceremony, and usually it involves a stick. But nonetheless, throughout this podcast, you're going to hear me refer to a baseball bat because, well, apparently they use the bat quite often as well. I think that's more of an American side of things, and that's why as I delved a little deeper into this, I found that, well, around the world, most everybody else uses a stick. A thick stick. And I shouldn't laugh. It's not funny, actually. Anyway, with that, you guys are thoroughly enticed and you're going, what in the world is he talking about? Well, let's go ahead and jump right in. All right. And as we go here, there's just some things that Moon teaches that are, let's face it, guys, they're silly. They're silly. All right. You know what? I'll give you an example of silliness. This is way off topic. But part of the wedding ceremony, if you will, for somebody getting into the Unification Church, they're getting married in that church. Have you ever heard, guys, this is silly, that part of their ceremony is the husband, the groom, has to hit his bride-to-be in the buttocks as hard as he can 3 times, wait for it, with a baseball bat. Okay, I'm not going to laugh. I didn't just laugh. That wasn't actually me laughing. That is crazy. Hitting your wife with a baseball bat as hard as you can 3 times on the hind end. And if she goes down, you have to wait for her to regain herself. You know, if she passes out or whatever from pain, you have to wait for her to come to so you can finish the job. Okay? And then, once she has survived this first instance of the most severe spousal abuse you've ever heard of, okay, maybe not, but then she takes the baseball bat, if she can, and hits her husband in the buttocks with a baseball bat as hard as she can 3 times. If she is unable to perform in this, then some other man is supposed to take up the bat and do it for her. What kind of God would have as a doctrine hit your spouse with a baseball bat? There's nothing in the Bible about that, friends. Nothing. This is all new. So all this time, we've been living in sin because we don't have the true parents and we don't have the understanding that we're supposed to hit our spouse at the time of marriage with a baseball bat. Okay. The idea behind that is that you're purging her of some of her past sins. This whole concept of indemnity. That's really hard to say. Say that three times really fast. But you're trying to purge some of these past sins from her. That I'm sorry. I'm just shaking my head right now. I don't even... So when Jesus was on the cross and he said, "It is finished," tetelestai, you know, the thing that they stamp on somebody who's getting let out of prison or somebody who just paid off their debt in full, they put the little stamp saying tetelestai on their paperwork, paid in full, except for the baseball bat part, you know. You paid in full, but you're going to have to hit, you know, take three good whacks on the hind end with a baseball bat. Oh, yeah, and then you're going to take some cold showers, and you're going to abuse yourself in all these ways. I guess it wasn't paid in full, was it? Huh. All right. The Bible contradicts what Moon teaches over and over and over again. The Bible proves itself to be the Word of God over and over and over again. The whole Bible is filled with God's fingerprints. Moon's teachings are not. He has nothing going for him. There's not a shred of evidence of any kind of divine power within him. Nothing. Not a single thing. And his words are evil. Okay, whacking your wife with a baseball bat, that is evil. That is wrong. You don't do that. And so anyway, beating a dead horse or beating someone else, I don't know. Let's move on. Moon says in The Divine Principle, page 152, he says, "In order for us to have a right faith, we must first establish the direct rapport with our God in spirit through ardent prayer, and next, we must understand the truth through correct reading of the Bible." So, on the surface there, it doesn't, well, that quote doesn't seem to be too out of line, right? Let's look at some of his other words. Moon says in My Life of Faith, which is Today's World, May 1995, page 15, this is what Moon says. He says, "You can do it even without the Old and New Testaments. You do not need them anymore." All right, so on one hand, he says the Bible is necessary. And then right out of the other side of his mouth, he says, "Nah, you don't need the Bible. You don't need the Old and New Testaments anymore." Well, and the unspoken reason here is that we don't need them because we now have him, the second coming. Check this out. Moon downplays Jesus' words and basically says we don't need to obey Jesus' words anymore. What's up with that? Okay, Divine Principle, page 131, Jesus says, Moon says this, "Jesus did not say that his word was the truth, but that he himself was the truth, the way, and the life. This is because his words were only a means of expressing himself as the truth. We can understand that the New Testament was given as a textbook for the teaching of the truth to the people of 2,000 years ago. In consequence, today, the truth must appear with a higher standard, with a scientific method of expression in order to enable intelligent modern men to understand it." All right, so Moon thinks that nowadays the Bible's not important. It's an old, dusty book, and now we need something with more scientific understanding so that the modern man can understand it. You know, scientific, like beating your spouse with a baseball bat, you know, stuff like that. By the way, there are scientific errors, at least eight of them, glaring scientific errors in The Divine Principle, So this claim right here of a more scientific modern book is even proven false by Moon's own writings. I may or may not go over these errors in this pod or in this series. I probably won't. If I don't, I'll leave you a link with the article that goes with this podcast. And that way, you guys can click that link and go to a page that actually shows you those 8 errors. It bothers me. He attacks the Bible, and it's obvious that his word is not inspired. His word is not the word of God. I mean, it's just a typical tactic of cults. First thing they do is undermine the word of God, as in what Satan did, the very first thing he did in the garden. Yea, hath God said? Right away, he attacks the word of God. Then he goes ahead and contradicts the word of God. You will not die. Okay? And that is what Satan does. He questions the word of God, he adds to the word of God, and he contradicts the word of God. That's how he rolls. And that's exactly what you see in the cult movements all the time. That's the first thing they do is attack the word of God. And here we have Moon, this false Christ, this anti-Christ, if you will, attacking Jesus and his word. All right, Jesus, you know, the guy that had the signs and wonders and rose people from the dead and then rose from the dead himself and prophesied of future events, some of which have come to pass. Yeah, that guy, he said this in Mark 13, verse 31. He says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And that is what our Messiah says. That's what Jesus said. And friends, we can believe that. We can hang our hat on that. Jesus' words will not pass away. And yes, we should obey Jesus' words. In fact, John chapter 14, verse 23 says, Jesus says, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make our abode with him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. And as we go on here, we're going to find that the Reverend Moon did not keep Jesus' sayings. It's as simple as that. And so we know that Moon does not love Jesus. In fact, as we go farther, and as we've discussed earlier, Moon, he teaches that Jesus is not the Christ, and therefore Moon sets himself up as Antichrist. He says that Jesus is not God. He also claims that Jesus did not rise from the dead bodily. Guys, this makes him Antichrist, not the Antichrist, but that makes him Antichrist. And before we get into exactly what Moon does teach about Jesus and how we can use the scriptures to refute that, I want you to keep this in mind too. All right. And we talked about this earlier, but I just want to say it again. The Unification Church teaches, and Reverend Moon absolutely taught, that it was okay to lie and to cheat in order to further his version of God's kingdom. All right, and just in case you want some quotes here, the secret sayings of Master Moon, Time Magazine, June 14th, Reverend Moon says this, he says, in restoring man from evil sovereignty, we must cheat. In a speech that Reverend Moon gave at the Rolaine Farmhouse, March 16th, 1972, he says, so telling a lie becomes a sin if you tell it to take advantage of a person. But if you tell a lie to do a good thing for him, that is not a sin. Okay, really? And I already showed you some other quotes where Moon teaches that it's okay to lie to people. And you heard testimonies of how these young kids, these young men and women who are taken into this group, these college kids, okay, young adults put out on the street, and they're taught to say whatever they need to say to produce results, to bring in the money. And that's what it is on their level. It's all about the money. So I suppose we should be keeping this in mind. When we're witnessing somebody from the Unification Church, they're going to feel it's okay to lie to you. So again, I think we need to start at the foundation of the Word of God. Start there. Show them that the Bible is inspired of God and allow that to start working its way into their life. Really boost up, exalt, get them fired up about the Bible and its authority, its power, its ability to speak events before they happen because God wrote it. And get them all fired up on the Bible first, okay? And see if you can't get them going down that lane for a while. If you get them reading the Word with that in their mind, that this is the divine, inspired Word of God, I believe God's going to speak to them through His Holy Spirit and through His Word. As they read through the Bible, God is going to show them inconsistencies and contradictions. When you bring this to their face, they're going to see that as persecution and that the devil is working through you. But if you take this little side road, because they do acknowledge the Bible as some form of God's Word, and when you exalt it and show it to them as it really is and get them in there reading it, I got to think that good things are going to follow. And when you just go after their doctrine, they're going to consider that persecution, and they're also going to lie to your face and deny. They will deny some of the more aberrant doctrines that they have, like the baseball bat thing. Don't even bring that up, okay? That was just for your enlightened entertainment, okay? I just thought you might be interested to know that. Don't bring it up, all right? They'll lie. They'll deny it. So don't even worry about it. Just get them on that Bible. Anyway. All right, so we're going to stop right there. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about Jesus. We're going to talk about who Jesus is to the Unification Church, and we're going to use the scriptures, as we kind of laid the foundation today, we're going to use the scriptures because it's far more reliable than the words of Moon. We're going to look at clear and obvious scriptures that contradict what Moon's saying. So if Moon is teaching one thing and the scriptures are clearly teaching another thing, and yet Moon says that his words and the Bible do not contradict each other, yet they clearly do, what are we going to do with that, friends? And all of you Unification Church members who are listening, what are we going to do with that? I know that amongst your circles you teach that when the Bible and Moon's words contradict each other, you're supposed to go with Moon's words. Well, friends, again I ask, why should we pick Moon's words over the Bible? What reason do we have to choose Moon over the Bible? The Bible proves itself over and over and over. Through prophecy, through signs and wonders, through the life and walk of Jesus, the fact that he rose from the dead. We have all of these reasons to choose the Bible, and we have no reason to choose the teachings of Sun Myung Moon. So anyway, I said I was done and I kept talking. So anyway, you guys can catch me on my website, youthapologeticstraining.com. And I do enjoy talking to you guys. Please leave comments and questions, especially if you have had the opportunity to witness to somebody who's been part of this movement or you've come out of this movement. Let's talk for everybody to see. or if you would like to talk to me personally, you can also catch me on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. And with that, guys, I love you, and I'll see you tomorrow.